الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد all praise is due to Allah and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment continuing with the tafsir of Shaykh Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi particularly Surah Al-Baqarah verse 146 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبناءهم وإن فريقا منهم ليكتمون الحق وهم يعلمون الحق من ربك فلا تكونن من الممترين Someone kindly read verses 146 and 147 in English.
Those to whom we gave the scriptures, Jews and Christians recognized him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Kaaba at Makkah, as they recognized their son. But verily, the party of them conceived the truth while they have known it, the qualities of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are written in the Torah, Quran, and the Injil, Gospel.
Continue.
This is the truth from your Lord, for be you not one of those who doubt.
Barakallahu feek. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى يخبر تعالى أن أهل الكتاب قد تقرب عندهم وعرفوا أن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن ما جاء به حق وصدق وتيقنوا ذلك كما تيقنوا أبناءهم بحيث لا يشتبهون عليهم بغيرهم فمعرفتهم بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وصلت إلى حد لا يشكون فيه ولا يمترون The Shaykh Rahimahullah says, Allah the Exalted informs us that the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, it had been established with them already. And they know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And that what he's brought is the truth and is the truth from Allah. And they're actually certain about that. In the same fashion, they are certain about their children. Who has children here? Raise your hand. Have you ever looked at your son and said, is this my son?
No.
A man, you know the guy from, 500 feet. You see him, all you see is him walking. And this is your son walking, even if you cannot see his features. Why? These are your children, man. You spend so much time with them, you know them. Allah says that the Jews and the Christians, they know the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ the same way they know their children. You don't have any doubt that this is your child. And they have no doubt that this is the messenger of Allah. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sent by Allah. Revelation came to him from Allah. But it is the wicked intentions. It is the deviation. It is the favoring of the dunya over the akhirah. The worldly life over the hereafter. All these are factors that play a major role in their continuous deviance. Okay. Now he said, so their knowledge, it is just like knowing they have certainty, the same way they know their children, in such a way where they do not mistake him, the same way they don't mistake their children for other people's children, they don't mistake the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ for being the messenger of Allah. So basically their knowledge of him being the messenger of Allah has reached such a point where they have absolutely no doubt. No doubt whatsoever that he is indeed the messenger of Allah. That is of course speaking with those who have received da'wah. And this is speaking about those during that particular time. Because you may come across a Jew or a Christian in this day and time where he doesn't really know. You see that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah. Until you convey that message to him or her. You see what I'm saying? Not everyone today, this verse does not apply to every Jew and Christian. Because there are some of them who have never come across Islam, never heard anything about Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, particularly after the distortion of the scriptures, where the name Muhammad was removed from the Bible. It was removed, where you can no longer trace it unless you know the original manuscripts, or you know that it has been intentionally mistranslated to become the altogether lovely, or the comforter, or whatever other names is given to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. But back then, during the time of Revelation, the Jews and the Christians during that time, they were anticipating the coming of someone because Jesus had foretold and prophesied the coming of a messenger that will come after him. So they knew, alaykum salam, so they knew who it will be. And so they had knowledge of the alaykum salam. Today, this is pending for them to receive da'wah. After they receive the da'wah, then we could say that these people now, like some of the people you may have given da'wah, and you've proven to them that this book, Quran, is from Allah, and that no human being can write it, and that Islam calls to the worship of Allah alone, and it denounces the worship of His creation. This is khalas. If somebody receives this message, then they know that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But you will still find people who will reject that. After it becomes clear to them, Islam is the deen of Allah. Allah will not accept anything but Islam. And that their religion is nothing but fabricated teachings that were created by men. They will insist on remaining on their way and their belief system, and they will not move on to Islam. So then it applies to them in this particular sense. طيب. The Shaykh said, لكن فريقا منهم وهم أكثرهم الذين كفروا به كتموا هذه الشهادة مع تيقنها وهم يعلمون. He said, but a group of them, and they are the majority, a group of them, but they are the majority, they disbelieved in him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they concealed this testimony while being certain that it is from Allah. They concealed it and they pretended that it is not applicable. And you see these in these reverends and priests and pastors and whatever you call them that come and debate with some of the Muslims. You could tell throughout the process that, you know, they're just coming up, especially Ali Shurosh. This man will just throw lies, just without any modesty, without any, yani, it's just unexplainable how he would lie so much so that the whole crowd, both Muslims and Christians, know that he's lying. He would just lie and deny and pretend he said this but he didn't say it, or he didn't say that, and he would just say the Quran promises the Muslims 70 women in Jannah. Where? Tell him where. Show me where in the Quran it says that the Muslim will get 70 women in Jannah. Have you ever read a verse like that in the Quran? No. There's no such verse. It's in the hadith. No problem. But say it's in the hadith. Don't say the Quran. You know, don't lie. Anyways, this is his, and he's an Arab. He knew the Arab. He read the Arabic Quran. Don't think, and he is able to read the Arabic Quran, and he does. And he brings an Arabic version to his debates. So the guy knows what's going on. Not that he doesn't know the language. He knows the language. He's reading the original language, which could not be in, maybe, for example, if he reads the English, in the footnote, maybe the one of the scholars in the tafsir, he will say, okay, you know, there's comment, in the commentary. But in this case, he's reading the Arabic text. And he still lies. He knows the Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and he still lies. And he still claims that it is a false religion, and that it's fabricated and what have you. And Allah says regarding these people, وَمَنْ أَظَّمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفِي ضِمْنِ ذَلِكَ تَسْلِيَةٌ لِلرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَتَحْذِيرٌ لَهُمْ مِنْ شَرِّهِمْ وَشُبَهِهِمْ وَفَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَمْ يَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرَ بِهِ جَهْلًا. So Allah says, and who is more oppressive than he who conceals the testimony with him from Allah? And in that verse, there's an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to ease and comfort the believers, the messenger of Allah, and the believers. Meaning, don't be grieved. These people, they know. You know, if they didn't know, then, you know, you will feel bad that they're unable to understand. But these are people who understand, but deliberately turn away from the truth. So don't grieve over them. At the same time, Allah is warning them from their evil and their doubtful things. And a group of them did not conceal the truth while they know, which are those who entered into Islam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, examples will be brothers like yourselves. So among them are those who believed in Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are all the reverts that are entering into Islam on daily basis in thousands, and alhamdulillah. And others who disbelieved in Him out of ignorance. They did not know, like the ones I mentioned to you earlier, people who never received the message of Islam, and they don't know anything else except Christianity, so they think that this is the religion of God. Until the message is delivered to them, then they will not be considered among those who deliberately disbelieve the same way they know their children. They have certainty in Him like the same way they know their children. This happens after the message has been conveyed and they insist on disbelief. So that's an extra degree above the rest. فالعالم عليه إظهار الحق وتبينه وتزينه بكل ما يقدر عليه من عبارة وبرهان ومثال وغير ذلك وإبطال الباطل وتمييزه عن الحق وتشبيهه وتشينه وتقبيحه للنفوس بكل طريق مؤدي إلى ذلك. فهؤلاء الكاتمون عكسوا الأمر فانعكست أحوالهم أو فانعكست أحوالهم نعم أحوالهم. العالم, the scholar, what is expected of him is to clarify the truth to the people along with beautifying it and adorning it, adorning the truth, just like a whatever, it's like a room. You decorate it, you make it look nice and appealing, you know, for the guests when they come over, they feel comfortable sitting in this room, you know, nice design and things of this nature, comfortable place. Similarly, the scholar or the da'iyah, those of you who are involved in inviting people to Islam, then you should also use the same methodology. You beautify the truth to the people and you adorn it with giving them examples and things that will clarify and show them how beautiful it is to worship Allah alone, how beautiful it is to submit to Allah and to believe in all of His messengers and things of this nature. Then on the other hand, as the Shaykh will mention, and before I continue, the Shaykh said, so you beautify it in every way possible through eloquent statement or a proof that you can provide or some examples, striking similitudes and metaphors. And other than that, on the other hand, وَإِبْطَالُ الْبَاطِلِ, similarly, you should nullify falsehood. Show them how void and how bad falsehood is, and making it seem ugly to the people, and making it detested to the souls. Where you tell them how grave shirk is, and explain to them that there's nothing worse in this world that you worship other than Allah and He created you. That you call on to the creation of Allah, and they are creation like you. That they are in need, like you are in need. So you calling on to them and abandoning calling on to the one who can truly help you is the worst kind of sin that one may commit. And it goes against the objective of life, which is to establish the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the unification of worship to Allah and things of this nature. So also when you want to show them that the falsehood that they're upon is no good, you also have to show them how ugly it is. How detestable it is, how repulsive it is, the falsehood that they are upon, in every way possible. But those who have concealed the truth, those who have concealed the truth, they have twisted things around. So then their affairs became twisted. Yani instead of them, and this is any da'iyah to Christianity, any caller to Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or anyone, any propagator of any other religion, he has twisted these facts around. He calls to falsehood and he beautifies falsehood in the sights of people. You know, Jesus loves you! He loves you! Accept Him today! For like a cow on the stage for 10-15 minutes talking about Jesus. Who told you Jesus loves me, man? Show me a letter He sent you. Show me a fax that has a signature at the bottom. I, Jesus, love Wajdi. Show me. You just come and you can say words, but Jesus loves you. He loves the Hindu who worships a cow? Yeah. He worships everyone. So why is there hellfire? Why? Since when do you put someone you love in hellfire? Why would people go to the hellfire if Jesus loves everyone? So he says, you know, this nonsense. You're lying to me. They just lie to you, you see? So they bring the falsehood and they try to beautify it inside of people. You know, what is his name? Jimmy Swagger. That Jesus spoke, God spoke to him before this debate with Ahmed Didat. He told him, tell Ahmed Didat, you know, if he, you know, comes to me, it's going to be Mia, you know. What is this, man? It's like you almost don't believe that someone would actually say this. You know, and then it's just, but that just shows you a sample of these people, you know, they bring the falsehood and they make it seem beautiful. But Allah knows that it's ugly. On the other hand, they bring the truth and they try to make it seem that it is falsehood. So they disregard or they degrade Islam, they try to debase it, they try to speak ill of Islam, claim that it's a religion of this, religion of that. All, they're twisting things around. So the affairs became twisted. الحق من ربك أي هذا الحق الذي هو أحق أن يسمى حقا من كل شيء ما شاء الله. Allah says this is the truth from your Lord. The Shaykh said, meaning this is the truth that is most deserving to be called truth than anything else. Yani there's many things that are true. I'm drinking coffee. Is this true?
Yeah.
It's true. But there are levels of truth. There's nothing more deserving of being called truth than what has been sent upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the ultimate, this is the most deserving thing to be called the truth. Otherwise there are many truths in the world, but they may be unimportant, insignificant, irrelevant to our lives. But the most important truth is what has been sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh justified that by saying, لِمَا اشْتَمَلَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَطَالِبِ الْعَالِيَةِ وَالْأَوَامِرُ الْحَسَنَةِ والأوامر الحسنة وتزكية النفوس وحثها على تحصيل مصالحها ودفع مفاسدها لصدوره من ربك الذي من جملة تربيته لك أن أنزل عليك هذا القرآن الذي فيه تربية العقول والنفوس وجميع المصالح. The Shaykh said the reason why, because this particular book, the Quran, has contained all of the honorable commandments and the beautiful obligations and purification of the soul, and it has encouraged us to strive to save ourselves. Benefit yourself. That which will benefit you, which is iman and righteous deeds. So the Quran, if you read the Quran, is always encouraging you to spend in the cause of Allah, to propagate and call to Allah, to establish the salah for the sake of Allah, to sacrifice for the sake of Allah, right? To do hajj and umrah for the sake of Allah. The whole Quran, in essence, is commanding you to do things that will purify you. Purify you from sins, purify you from disobedience, purify you from associated partners with Allah. So the Quran is calling you to the best of things, which is what has been sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Simultaneously, it commands you to protect yourself from that which will harm you. Protect yourself from that which will harm you. Why? Because all this is from your Lord, Rabbika. And the word Rabb in the language comes from another derivative of that word is Murabbi. And Murabbi is the caretaker. So Rabb, in essence, is the caretaker. And it is used in this fashion because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is taking care of His creation, believers and disbelievers alike. Right? Everybody's being taken care of by Allah. Yet Allah's tarbiyah is of two kinds. The caretaking of Allah is of two kinds, general and specific. The general includes the believer and the disbeliever, as I mentioned earlier. But the specific one is strictly for the believers, where the form of caretaking is not restricted to material world. Rather, Allah will take care of you in terms of your faith by protecting you, keeping you a Muslim, guiding you to do good deeds, guiding you to seek knowledge, guiding you to invite people to Him. You know, the form of caretaking that is associated with the spiritual aspect, which will lead to paradise. Otherwise, the general one includes the disbeliever who's being fed and sustained and given, you know, family and progeny and everything by Allah. Allah's taking care of him, but only in a materialistic, worldly sense, not in a spiritual sense. This is strictly for the believers. So this is why you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. As the ulama of tafsir mentioned, the Rabb then is Yurabbi Tarbiyah, which is bringing up, caretaking, you know, and things, watching over something and things of this nature. And you know, the one who's in charge, in essence. So anyways, this came from your Lord, the Shaykh said, and part of his caretaking towards you, O Muhammad, is that he has sent down upon you this Quran. That is a form of caretaking. It takes care of the brain, of the mind, and of the souls, and all that which is righteous. So this is يعني, a part of the same Rabbik from your Lord. This is a special virtue that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says from your Lord, speaking specifically about him alayhi salatu wasalam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ أي فَلَا يَحْصُلُ لَكَ أَدْنَى شَكْ وَرِيبَ فِيهِ بَلْ تَفَكَّرْ فِيهِ وَتَأَمَّلْ حَتَّى تَصِلَ بِذَلِكَ إِلَى الْيَقِينَ لِأَنَّ التَّفَكُّرَ فِيهِ لَا مُحَالَةً دَافِعٌ لِلشَّكْ مُوصِلٌ لِلْيَقِينَ. So the Shaykh said, and regarding that, so do not be among those who doubt. Meaning, so do not have any least of doubt, or يعني, any doubt whatsoever. Rather, reflect upon it, this Quran, reflect upon it, and ponder upon it, until you reach the level of certainty, until you reach the degree of yaqeen, certainty. Because really, if you ponder upon this Quran, if you reflect upon this Quran, you will definitely remove all doubts and reach certainty. And this is the quality of the Quran. Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. Verily this Quran guides to that which is more straight. The Quran. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هدى للمتقين. That book, there's no doubt in it. Guidance for the righteous. So the Quran, in essence, if you just read it, you know, it's clear like the sun that this is a book from Allah. You see, you cannot conceive this to be a human being writing this book. If you read the Quran, no way you will think a human being wrote this book, because the context and the nature of this speech is not that of a human being. Whether it is in the manner of how it addresses the people, you know, not just linguistically, because you may be reading it in English, it doesn't give the same feeling as when you read it in Arabic and you understand the eloquence in Arabic. But in terms of the manner of speech, it is not something that a human being would write. No human being would write, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ. No human being can write that. Look at this verse in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. And if you are in doubt, Allah says, if you are in doubt about that which we have sent down upon our servant, which is the Quran, upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, so produce a chapter the like thereof. And we said the smallest chapter in the Quran is what, ya Quran? Al-Kawthar. The smallest chapter in the Quran is Surah Al-Kawthar. How many words? Words. Three verses? 10 words. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. 10 words. Allah challenged all of the creation in this Quran. If you claim that we did not send down this book upon Muhammad, produce a chapter like the like thereof. One chapter like Surah Al-Kawthar. Not only that, Allah says, and call on to your witnesses besides Allah. Call on to everybody in the earth if you are truthful. Then Allah told us the prophecy, the result. And if you're unable to do it, and you will never be able to do it, protect yourselves from the fire. I tell you by Allah, can a human being write this? Do you right now, alaykum salam, let's say, ya akhi, you graduated from Oxford, you're the most eloquent English, you are Shakespeare. Would you dare to write a book, and in this book of yours you say, I dare anyone from now until the day of judgment to write only half a page like my book. Huh? And call on to all of the intellectuals and the eloquent people in the world. Call on to all of them and let work together. All of you, work together. And produce only half a page like my book, if you are truthful. And you will never be able to do it. Do you think any human being can write this in a book? Huh? What will happen? Probably someone who lives down the street is better than him. Not in the whole world. Somebody who lives down the street that he hasn't met yet, his neighbor, probably more eloquent than him, more qualified than him, and a better writer than he is. And the very next day, someone will write, say, oh yeah, I'm not going to write half a page like you, I'm going to write a whole book better than your lousy book. What will happen as soon as that happens? That person will be disgraced until the day of judgment. They're going to say, you're a lousy, silly writer. How dare you write this challenge? Man, this is much nicer than yours. Look how much nicer that is. What would happen to him? He would be disgraced. Why? Because no human being in the sane mind will produce a challenge of this nature. Because people can write something better. But the only one who could do that is Allah. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator of the creation, and He knows that our maximum ability. No matter how good you are, you can never say the speech of Allah. You can never bring anything like the speech of Allah. So Allah made this challenge. You see? And until today, 1400 years, where is He? Where is that? Where are these verses? Where is this challenge? Who has met this challenge? No one. And as Allah says, وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, and you will never be able to do it. And the funny thing is, that some have attempted to do so. I've come across more than one chapter, okay, a fabricated chapter that was written by Christians and otherwise, who tried to prove that they're able to produce something like the Quran. But wallahi, as soon as you read it, you have to contain yourself from busting out laughing. As soon as you hear them, you have to stop yourself from laughing and rolling on the floor from the nonsense that you see in that. How clear and evident it is that this is not the book of Allah, and that it is the fabrication of the human beings, is so clear for those who, you know, for those who listen to these fabricated verses. Otherwise, for someone to bring something in the magnitude of the Quran at this particular caliber, Never. So if you read the Quran, you will be able to recognize that this book is from Allah. Because the nature of the speech is that of the Creator addressing His creation. And there's no other book like that in the world. So you reflect upon the Quran and you will definitely remove all doubt and you will become upon certainty that you are upon the true religion of Allah. You are upon the true religion of God and you are following the scripture, revealed scripture of Allah. And you are upon those who are following the prophets and the messengers, and you are upon those who have been guided away from the deviance that has been taking place in the other religions and denominations in these religions, who have distorted the scriptures, they have changed the revelation of God, and they have introduced a new belief system other than that of the prophets and the messengers. So you read the Quran and you will reach all these particular points with Allah Azza wa Jal. Tayyib. The verse 148 in English, please.
For every nation there is a direction to which they face in their prayers. So hasten towards all that is good. Wheresoever you may be, Allah will bring you together on the day of resurrection. Truly, Allah is able to do all things.
Barakallahu fiik. Ay kullu ahli deen wa milla lahu wujhatun yatawajjahu ilayha fi ibadatih. وليس شأنه في استقبال القبلة فإنه من الشرائع التي تتغير بها الأزمنة والأحوال ويدخلها النسخ والنقل من جهة إلى جهة ولكن الشأن كل الشأن في امتثال طاعة الله والتقرب إليه وطلب الزلفى عنده. The Sheikh said, meaning every people of religion and way, they had a particular direction where they turned towards during their prayer and their worship. He said, and the issue is not about where you're turning. We're not really stuck with the logistics, as they say, where you're turning. This is not the objective of what we're dealing with here. Although this is part of it, but that's not the main objective. The Shaykh said, because this is among the laws that change with time. These are among the laws that Allah changed according to the time and the situations. So during the time of one prophet, this they were supposed to turn towards this place. Then during another one, they were told to turn to another place. These are among the things that change. Okay? Because we know that the deen has usul and furu'. Usul al-deen, the foundations or the principles of the deen, these are consistent throughout all the prophets and the messengers. For example, the tawheed of Allah. Right? Allah being the only creator, Allah being the one with the most beautiful names and attributes, and He does not share them with His creation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the only one who deserves to be worshipped. This is the universal message, and from the principles of the deen that no prophet or messenger has ever brought something other than that. Never. This has been the thing that they are consistent with. You know, this is among the things that you know, salvation, for example, is being attained through belief and righteous deeds. You see, the Iman in Allah is the believing in the oneness of Allah. But then there are branches. There are things where the nature of the act of worship may have varied from one generation to another. For example, the fasting of the Joseph or Dawood may be different than the fasting of the Muslims today. And so, you know, the prayer, the manner of prayer during some time may have changed during another time. These things are changeable. Among them is the Qibla, which direction to face. It could be Bayt al-Maqdis, it could be Al-Kaaba, right? So there's no harm in that. It is included, it is potentially or it could be abrogated, it could be moved from one place to another. This is not the objective. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّأْنَ كُلَّ الشَّأْنِ. But verily the whole objective is about fulfilling the obedience to Allah. Fulfilling the obedience to Allah, seeking nearness to Him, and trying to be among those who are close to Him. This is the main objective. فَهَذَا هُوَ عُنْوَانُ السَّعَادَةِ وَمَنْشُورُ الْوِلَايَةِ. This is the title of happiness. This is the real happiness and being qualifying himself to be among those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الَّذِي إِذَا لَمْ تَتَّصِفْ بِهِ النُّفُوسِ حَصُلَتْ لَهَا خِسَارَةُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. خِسَارَةُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And it is that thing which if the souls do not have, which is trying to seek nearness to Allah, and obey him, then the soul will lose both this life and the hereafter. كما أنها إذا اتصفت به فهي رابحة على الحقيقة. Likewise, if the soul does acquire these attributes of obeying Allah, seeking His pleasure, seeking to be near Him, then obviously it will be the true successful soul. وهذا أمر متفق عليه في جميع الشرائع. This is something that is agreed upon among all the legislations. وهو الذي خلق الله له الخلق وأمرهم به. And this is exactly what Allah سبحانه وتعالى has created the creation for, and this is what He has commanded them to fulfill. والأمر بالاستباق إلى الخيرات قدر زائد على الأمر بفعل الخيرات. And Allah says, فاستبقوا الخيرات, meaning race towards good deeds. Race towards good deeds. Sibaq. Stabiqu comes from sibaq. Sibaq is racing. You know, like sprint racing or horse racing or anything. Yeah, sabaqa is the past of someone who beat someone else. Sabaqa Abdul Hadi Khalid. Yani he raced him and he came first. He beat him. Anyways, we were commanded to do that pertaining to good deeds. And the Shaykh said this is more than just asking you to do good deeds. Because it could have been said, so do good deeds. But it said, فَاسْتَبِقُوا. So race against one another, meaning there's encouragement here. فَأَنَّ الْإِسْتِبَاقَ إِلَيْهَا يَتَضَمَّنْ فِعْلُهَا وَتَكْمِيلِهَا يَتَضَمَّنْ فِعْلَهَا وَتَكْمِيلَهَا. Because racing towards these good deeds entails doing the good deeds and trying to perfect them. Not only doing them, but you try to do them in the most perfect sense. وَإِقَاعِهَا عَلَى أَكْمَلِ الْأَحْوَالِ. And establishing in the best condition, in the best way. وَالْمُبَادَرَةِ إِلَيْهَا. And hastening towards it. وَمَنْ سَبَقَ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ فَهُوَ السَّابِقُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَى الْجَنَّاتِ. So whoever races in this life of this world towards good deeds, then he will be among those who will race to the gardens in the hereafter. You run fast today, and you will make it on the day of judgment. فَالسَّابِقُونَ أَعْلَى الْخَلْقِ دَرَجَةً. So those who are the forerunners, those who have surpassed the rest of the people, these will be the highest people in status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Those who not only did good deeds, because the akhi, right now, each one of us prays. Right? If you don't pray, that's all another discussion. But we're speaking on the premises that everybody here establishes salah. Yet, the differences between the brothers in the salah may be so vast, so huge, that you cannot even imagine it. Two people will do salah, but their implementation of this verse is so different that their reward will be so different that their whole life in this life and in the hereafter will be so different, although both of them establish the salah. So you find a brother whom Allah commanded to establish the salah. First, among doing the salah in an appropriate manner as an obligation, to do it in jama'ah, with the Muslim jama'ah. And when we speak about the jama'ah, we're talking about the first jama'ah, not the second jama'ah, third jama'ah, and the rest of the jama'ah that continue to be established in the masjid afterwards. Tayyib? What is preferred, for example, is to do wudu at home. Go with the wudu ready, the ablution ready. So you don't have to go there through the process of going to the bathroom and having traffic and waiting in line and wasting time while the adhan is being called. Why? Before the salah time, prepare yourself. Go to the restroom, handle your business, get in your wudu, purify yourself, and be ready for the salah. Prior to the adhan, you don't have to go after the adhan as people think. Well, you have to hear the muadhin in order for you to go to the masjid. You don't have to wait for that. Rather, if you want to get good deeds, if you want to implement this verse and be among those who istabaqu al-khayrat, those who race against with each other in terms of goodness, then you go to the masjid before the adhan, or just at the time of the adhan. And so you come into the masjid, you pray tahiyyat al-masjid, or if there's any sunnah before the salah, you pray the sunnah, then there's no need for tahiyyat al-masjid, because the whole thing about tahiyyat al-masjid is not sitting down until you pray to rak'ah. Then you pray that prayer and you sit down, you recite the Quran. While you're reciting the Quran, there's an angels, Allah has assigned angels that continue to say, oh Allah have mercy on him, oh Allah forgive him. You'll be continued to have angels supplicating for you as long as you're waiting for the prayer. Furthermore, Prophet ﷺ said, the man will be in the state of prayer. You'll be getting the reward of salah as long as you are waiting for the salah. So 20 minutes from Adhan to Iqamah, 20 minutes you are given the reward of prayer, even if you're sitting down. If you happen to be reciting the Quran at the same time, you're getting two rewards. Your real recitation of the Quran and the reward that has been written for you, huh? For being in the masjid waiting for the salah that you're praying, although you finished praying already, the voluntary, you follow me? Then the angels are making dua, istighfar for you, seeking forgiveness for you while you're waiting. All this until the iqamah comes. So you get up in the iqamah, you're comfortable, you have a peace of mind, you've been reading the book of Allah, you're not breathing hard, you see what I'm saying? And you do the salatul jama'ah as in the first row, close to the imam, as you are supposed to. That's one person establishing the salat. And then there's the other brother who's sitting there, you know, talking. Bah, bah, bah. They call in the adhan. Bah, 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 bah. Ah, bah, bah, bah. Allah, the adhan is finished. He's still gir, 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 gir. Then he realizes, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. And now number one, number two. Excuse me, yani. Then he goes, you know, number one, number two. Never mind. Yani, he has to do the long one, not the short one. So he goes to the hammam and he spends 10, 15 minutes in the hammam and making wudu. Then he's running into the masjid. They finished the jama'ah already. He makes it to the second jama'ah. And the fourth rak'ah, you know, he joins them, he doesn't know what happened. Allahu Akbar. Now he's thinking, okay, how much have I missed? I need to realize how much I missed to make up after the imam is done. Ya'ani ayyi kalam. Ya'ani, it looks like everything but a prayer. And we say this brother established the prayer, and that brother established the prayer, but between them is like the heavens and the earth. One brother has so much reward, acceptance from Allah, tawfiq, success, and the other one, ya'ani, if he got the reward for the salah, it would be great. If the salah was accepted from him, it would be great. They're not the same. So istabiqul khairat means that you don't just do the act of worship like everybody else does. You strive to perfect it. You know, you give it its due right. Particularly the salah. I don't know what we want. The salah. This is the easiest thing in the mamlaka. You go to any other country, you may suffer to do the salah the way you can do it today. The only place in the world where every corner there's a masjid. And brothers still manage to go to the second jama'ah, third jama'ah. I don't understand how. How? Why? Why, ya akhi? There's the first jama'ah. You have to go to salah. Either way. What is preventing you? You were saving someone dying? Was there someone dying and you were a doctor saving his life? No. You found a brother who was on the phone, talking about nothing, playing video games on his phone, watching some TV series. Nothing really yani worthy of them missing the jama'ah. It's not even permissible. So then, yani the point I'm trying to emphasize on, this ayah from the Quran where Allah commanded us, me and you, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, we need to implement it. You know you're going for the salah, then do it in the best way possible. Do it in the best way possible. Jumu'ah. Don't wait just because everybody is waiting, you know, till the end of the prayer, you know, till just before the salah, you see all the brothers still sitting outside, you know, conversating and socializing, and then they go to jama'ah, they miss the first row and the second and the third and the fourth, they barely make it before the imam in 5 minutes. It's not appropriate. Go early, ya akhi. When you finish early, go early. I know sometimes you are studying, you see. So maybe it is okay because you're studying and trying to learn. So as soon as you finish. But I remember at times Dr. Yahya, for example, would not be coming. And you have plenty of time on your hand. The smart individual will pack his stuff and leave. Alatul. No, Dr. Yahya, I'm going to the masjid early. You see what I'm saying? He doesn't say, okay, well, I'm supposed to have a class, so let me just socialize with the brothers. You're not going to get the same reward socializing when you go to the masjid early. You see what I'm saying? And I'm only saying this just in case you have a misconception. You may have seen me here late, right? So you're saying, okay, this guy is talking too much and he doesn't implement what he's saying. No. If you see me leaving here around 12 o'clock or something along these lines, because I have a khutbah to deliver in Hayy Mushrifa. And when I have a khutbah to deliver, I don't go there early because I'm the khatib. So I go there right at the time of the prayer. Just like you see in the masjid, when we go, do you see the imam with you in the front row, then he suddenly goes on the minbar? No. He comes straight to the minbar. Right or wrong? Because the sunnah of the khatib is that he is not sitting around in the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ would walk in from his house, huh? And he would go to the minbar, and he would begin the jumu'ah ala tool. He wouldn't sit in the masjid, he would not pray, none of that stuff. Is that clear? So if you happen to see me hanging around 12 o'clock or sometime late, it's because I have a khutbah to deliver and I am not confined with going early. But if I don't have that, then I should implement what I'm telling you. Shouldn't say something that I don't do myself. I try to go early to the masjid. And you brothers should try to go early to the masjid when you have the ability. If you don't have a desk with Dr. Yahya and you have time on your hand, ya akhi, go get the reward. Implement this verse in the Quran. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Race with one another regarding goodness. Be the first one to be there, the one with the most reward. So much reward you can gain in waiting in the masjid, it's beyond your imagination. The best business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to know that the shaitan tries to divert you from that. He tries to keep you busy, so you will not gain all these rewards, and he will give you some unimportant things to busy you with. So you need to be mindful of that and free yourself from these things and the whispers, and just try to go early to the masjid whenever you are able to do so. On the five daily prayers and on Jumu'ah. Naam. والخيرات تشمل جميع الفرائض والنوافل من صلاة وصيام وزكوات وحج وعمرة وجهاد ونفع متعد وقاصر. The Shaykh said, رحمه الله, and the khayrat, goodness, includes all of the obligations like the five daily prayers, Hajj and Umrah once in your life according to some scholars, Zakah and what have you, and fasting in Ramadan. One nawafil, and the voluntary acts of worship, the various things that you do voluntarily, like prayer and fasting and zakah, or the sabaqah or the obligatory one, wa hajj wa umrah, and hajj and umrah wa jihad, and striving and struggling for the cause of Allah and benefiting the people. Naf'an muta'addin, meaning it's a form of benefit that surpasses or goes beyond the person himself. Yani when you do something that not only benefits you, but it also benefits the people around you. Wa naf'an qasir is one that is limited to the person himself. You see, where you are doing something that only benefits you, and it does not necessarily benefit your brothers in Islam. So there's two kinds, all of these are included in that. ولما كان أقوى ما يحث النفوس على مسارعة على المسارعة إلى الخير وينشطها ما رتب الله عليها من الثواب قال أينما تكونوا يأتي بكم الله جميعا إن الله على كل شيء قدير. The Shaykh said, since among the best things to encourage a person to seek to do good deeds and to hasten and race to do good deeds, it's whatever Allah has promised us from reward. You know, that will, as I mentioned to you, the reward in waiting for the salah is so abundant that this will incite you to go to the masjid early, because you want the angels to make istighfar for you. You want to be given the reward of praying while you're waiting for the prayer. You want to be given the reward of recitation of the Quran or the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah. You want all that. So when you know that there's reward associated, that will make you strive to race for goodness. That's why Allah says, wherever you may be, Allah will bring you all together. Verily, Allah is able to do all things. فَأَجْمَعُكُمْ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ بِقُدْرَتِهِ. So Allah will gather you to, on the day of judgment with His ability, with His omnipotence. فَيُجَازِي كُلَّ عَامِلٍ بِعَمَلِهِ. And Allah will reward each door of action according to his deed. لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. As in Surah Al-Najm. So in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward those who have done evil accordingly, He will reward them with what they have done, and in order for Allah to reward with goodness those who have done good. ويستدل بهذه الآية الشريفة على الإتيان بكل فضيلة يتصف بها العمل كالصلاة في أول وقتها والمبادرة إلى إبراء الذمة. The Shaykh said, and we use an evidence, we deduce an evidence from this ayah, noble ayah, that you know, trying to establish every act of worship in its the ultimate virtuous sense, in the best virtuous way, such as prayer in the early time, as soon as the time comes in of the prayer, and hastening to basically ibra'ad-dhimma is to free yourself from accountability. For example, if you have missed some days of Ramadan, okay, you missed some days of fasting in Ramadan, and you have to make them up. This ayah entails that you should hasten to make them up just in case you die. See? So you will free yourself from the accountability of not making up these missed days of fasting. So the Shaykh mentioned, من صيام والحج والعمرة, such as صيام and حج العمرة, وإخراج الزكاة, and producing and paying the charity or the obligatory charity, والإتيان بسنن العبادات وآدابها, and also fulfilling the voluntary aspects of the acts of worship and their etiquettes, you know, praying that Prophet ﷺ prayed. فَلِلَّهِ مَا أَجْمَعُهَا وَمَا وَأَنْفَعُهَا مِنْ آيَةٍ. He says to Allah, what how comprehensive and how beneficial it is of an ayah. Yani just the ayah, فَاسْتَبِكُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, excuse me, فَاسْتَبِكُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, that, only that part of the ayah, there's so many things that the Shaykh rahimahullah was able to deduce. He said, what a comprehensive and beneficial ayah from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I believe with this will be enough inshallah for today. We are currently at verse 104. We've concluded verse 148 inshallah ta'ala. Next week, if all we all remain alive, we'll be doing verse 149. هذا والله تعالى أعلم. الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.